Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy to have you with us. Hello to all of our great listeners across America. As we celebrate 6 years of broadcasting, and what a great 3 hours we have for you. Our good friend Congressman Mark Alford is going to be here from Missouri. Also, Governor Mike Huckabee is going to drop by, and we're going to have some other very special guests coming up as well. By the way, this will be a fun segment. Ben Dieter, who is the co-host of KWAM's Wake Up Memphis, that's our flagship radio station, also KWAM News Director, Ben Dieter is going to be here. He was on C-SPAN the other day, and I love it because right out of the gate, he told them that he was a conservative, and I think it discombobulated the host because, you know, they don't have a lot of conservatives on C-SPAN. It was pretty brilliant. So anyway, we're going to be talking to Ben about being on C-SPAN as a conservative. And also, you folks in Wichita listening to us on KQAM, Dalton Glasscock, who is running for Wichita City Council and is a tough-on-crime Republican, is going to be on the program. And you're going to want to listen to that conversation as well. I want to start out with our good friend, the great one, Mark Levin. Have you heard about this? Levin, who is a, by the way, New York Times bestselling author, and has a new book coming out called The Democrat Party Hates America. And it's, from what I understand, it's a terrific book, and we'll have Levin on to talk about it when it comes out in September. But anyway, Levin pretty much, he lifts the hood off of the KKK Democrat Party. And we get to see under the hood what's really going on within the party. I mean, the Democrat Party is a party of hate anyway. But this book is really triggering people out there. Simon & Schuster is the publisher, and they just got a call that Target will not carry Mark Levin's new book. Now, many of you may not be aware, but Target is actually a big seller of books. And the only reason I know this is because they carry my books, and we move a lot of books through Target stores. So anyway, Target, the transgender-friendly store, informed Simon & Schuster that Levin's book might offend certain customers. Geez, Alou, I wonder what customers those might be. I do wonder. So Levin, rightfully so, is upset about this, and he called out corporatist left-wing censorship. Now, I have to tell you, I was a little surprised by this news because, again, as I mentioned, for years, Target, they've sold my books. And if you go on the Target website, you'll be able to see my book. So, but I've been boycotting the store. Like many of you, I have not set foot in a Target since they started selling the tuck-friendly swimwear for children. So I've been boycotting Target, and it's been a while since I've been in there. So I went on their website just a little while ago, right before I got on the program. And I just wanted to see, you know, first of all, is Levin's book really not there? And it's not there. So then I typed in my books. And it turns out my books have been removed. My conservative books have been removed. As a matter of fact, the only book of mine that's being sold at Target is the Daily Biscuit book, which is not a political book. It's a Southern devotion book. But that's it. All the others, Culture Jihad, Godless America, The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again, Dispatches from Better America, they've all been removed from Target's website. So there you go. What's happening at Target is a conservative cleansing. That's what's going on at Target right now. Now, look, I want to be very clear, and I want to especially be clear for the people over at Media Matters, that left-wing hate group, And they monitor this program, and they take everything I say out of context. So I want to say this as clearly as I can say this. Ladies and gentlemen, Target has every right to sell transgender children's apparel. Target has every right to pull every conservative book off of their shelves. They have every right to stock the Book of Satan, and they have every right to remove the Holy Bible. Target has every right to do that. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Conservative shoppers also have rights, and we have a right to spend our money someplace else, preferably not in a company that supports perverts and godless heathen Satanists. So there you go. Once again, a great reminder of why we need to create an underground economy. And I think we've been doing that with a lot of our sponsors here on the Todd Stearns program. We're creating a patriot economy. We're supporting companies that do not sell tuck-friendly swimming trunks to little children. We are creating a patriot economy that actually supports and shares our value system. And I'm very excited about that. And look, it's really out of necessity, right? Because look, we got to sell our books. We've got to get our message out there. And if Target's not going to sell books, then there maybe needs to be another way, maybe a conservative online bookstore. So we've got to start putting our heads together, and we've got to start thinking, and we've got to start spending our money, and we've got to start being smart about it. And that's one of the reasons we love our good friends over at the Timothy Plan. Art Alley, he comes on the program once a month. They've been longtime sponsors of this show. And what is the Timothy Plan all about? It's very simple. They help you steer clear of investing in companies that don't share our values. And that's an important thing. So I'm curious to hear from you. Are you boycotting Target? Do you try to stay away from stores that are left-leaning, that support left-leaning causes? How are you, again, looking at the society we're in now? I mean, look at what happened over the weekend, where you had the Sound of Freedom actually destroyed Indiana Jones, the new Indiana Jones movie, which, by the way, I've heard good things and bad things about that movie, but the fact that that movie was basically a bomb at the box office is really shocking. And I think a lot of people are starting to speak with their pocketbooks. So again, look, if you're a gay baker and you don't want to sell to a Christian church, I respect that. I will support your right not to bake a cake. But you know what? You've also got to support the rights of the Christians. You have to, right? That's what America is all about. All right, 844-747-8868. Is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. All right. Want to get to the phones here. We've got Rhett in Atlanta listening to us on WDUN. Now, Rhett, I understand you've been boycotting Target.
Yes. Thanks for taking the call. And some years ago, like maybe 5 years ago now, I believe that Target took down the Bible. They don't sell the Bible at Target, as far as I know. And since then, we have not shopped at Target at all.
Is that right? So what do you do instead? So you don't shop at Target. Where do you go shopping?
Mostly Walmart and Costco.
All right. Fair enough. I have tried to support local businesses, and they might be smaller mom and pop stores, but and it's worked out pretty well for me. Now I've even tried to start shopping at a locally owned grocery store chain. Again, trying to get away from Kroger, which they support a lot of woke stuff. And Rhett, I have to imagine though that you can't do that with everything, right? So there are some things you do have to buy.
My wife is an ethnic, she's from China mainland, and she knows how to work the Chinese supermarkets here near Atlanta. So we don't have to buy too much other odd stuff.
Wow.
And we have a nice garden in our backyard. And, I was thinking we don't buy bread anymore. She makes our own bread.
Is that right? Well, good for you guys. Good for you. And look, I don't know. And again, if it was about the Bible, you know, I'm looking at Target online and they're selling plenty of editions of the Bible, including the King James Version. So maybe they maybe they restocked the Bible. But yeah, I'm looking at it. But you can't buy any conservative books there. I can tell you that much. Rhett, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Anna in Georgia, WDUN, kicking off our day here. All right, Anna, what say you?
Hey, John. Yeah, I don't shop Target ever since. Well, I haven't shopped Target in a long time because their prices are higher than if I'm going to go. Their big competitor is Walmart, and I'll usually go there. But I don't know. I just don't care for Target, especially since they started this trans thing. It's like, I'm done with that. You know, forget it. I'm not going to go there.
Oh, they've gone. So. Yeah, they've gone all in on the transgender stuff. So there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I've got grandkids, and my children are conservative. They're raised that way, and. You know, we don't patronize people who are not or companies that are not not the type of issue. You know, their culture is different than mine in that they are putting the conservative thought process down. And that's they've been doing that for a long time, though.
Oh, you know, I remember when they opened up the bathrooms and the changing rooms to the transgender guys. Remember that? And, I mean, people were living.
I'm done with that. Nope, not doing it. Not going to, like you said, I'm just spend my money somewhere else.
All right. Anna, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Folks, 844-747-8868. When we come back, we have some new intel on what happened at the White House. And, folks, I'm telling you, there's going to be a cover-up here. And you can see it coming a mile away. President Trump predicting this. And the president says that Joe Biden is actually hiding the security tapes that would have shown Hunter Biden putting that or leaving that cocaine bag in the White House, in the West Wing. But right now, the mainstream media, it's really interesting. They went after KJP yesterday with a lot of gusto. But don't be surprised if they start backing away from all of that. But it's a mess right now at the White House. We're going to get into that. We have some new audio to play. Your calls as well, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, we have some video over at ToddStarnes.com. Now, this video was taken by C-SPAN. The Biden family was out on the balcony at the White House during the 4th of July celebration. Someone said, Starnes, you got to go back and watch the video. You got to watch it multiple times, but you have to watch Hunter Biden and you have to watch Jill. All right. Mrs. First Lady, Jill Biden. You got to watch these folks because something's not right. Something is off. So there they are. And Joe Biden is you know, he's looking out like, I don't know, he sees fairies in the sky or something, and it's just very odd. But Joe is Joe. But the First Lady, Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden, is very angry. And you can tell by the way she's gripping the railing. And we've got this video up over at the website, and you got to go watch it. And you got to watch it multiple times. So Hunter Biden comes out there, and he looks pale. His face is real sweaty. He looks clammy. And he does that move. He's walking in a kind of a weird crack cocaine kind of way. And he does that number where he takes his hand and he rubs it through the side of his head. And then he turns around. And you can tell that Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden is very unhappy. It's as if she knows that Hunter Biden has been doing something that he ought not to be doing. So when he turns around, and this is where it gets a little weird, but this is, it's fascinating. There's a moment where he ducks behind Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden, and you can watch him put his suit coat up to his nostril zone. And then the next thing you see is that he is using his other hand to rub the nose, and off he goes. So a lot of folks are wondering, what just happened? Did Hunter really snort something right there on the balcony of the White House? I don't know. We've got the video, and you can see it for yourself. Now, I don't know if these reporters are going to be able to get any answers, because the White House is cracking down on this one. And they're not allowing anybody to talk about this. Cut number one, please.
Thanks, Reed. Can you just tell us how the White House is assisting the Secret Service with this investigation? Have you made any White House officials available for interviews with law enforcement, for example?
Well, look, we're not assisting in anything. This is under the Secret Service purview. This is their kind of guidance and guideline, their world, and so we're going to let them do their job. We are not involved in this. This is something that the Secret Service handles. It's under their protocol, and they are going to investigate and get to the bottom of what happened this weekend.
Over and over again, and that's the exact narrative coming out of the White House. So there are a couple of things here. Politico now says it's very unlikely that we're ever going to know who did this. And I say that's bogus. Now, look, President Trump has a theory, and normally President Trump's thinking on this kind of stuff is spot on accurate. And Trump says, look, the cocaine either belonged to Joe or Hunter. And he seems to think it's Hunter, because he said that Biden may be hiding the security tapes to protect Hunter. And this is a valid theory here. And I want you to hear me out. We're talking about the most secure building in the United States of America. They have security measures that you and I would never even dream of. This is a secure facility. You can't walk into the White House with anything in your pockets. Everything has to come out. Every bag gets searched. So you can't tell me that an average person just walked into the White House with a dime bag of cocaine. You can't do that. But what we do know is that every single inch of that area is under video surveillance. So why haven't they pulled the tapes? Or maybe they have pulled the tapes, and like President Trump said, they know exactly what happened, and Joe Biden is telling them, don't release those tapes. I mean, it is possible. But they expect you to believe that. Politico literally expects you to believe that we just don't know. We're never going to be able to know who brought the cocaine into the White House. They expect you to believe that. But keep in mind, they still can't tell us who leaked the Supreme Court decision on Roe v. Wade. We still don't know that. FBI still won't tell us who planted the pipe bombs outside the RNC and the DNC. By the way, the Nashville transgender school shooter, yeah, we still haven't seen that manifesto. But the government expects you to believe there's no evidence of anybody leaving the cocaine in the White House. Do you believe that? Are you buying that, ladies and gentlemen? I smell a cover-up. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. So our friends at KWAM in Memphis have a Facebook group. You know, crime is off the charts in Memphis, like many other major American cities. It's pretty terrible. And this group has really exploded. Almost 7,000 members, and people are reporting crime, talking about crime, and it's freaking out the elected leaders in Memphis because the local TV stations, they only report drips and drabs of the real story about the crime here. And so now the city leaders are like, oh, crap. Oh, dadgummit, they're on to us now. Jeepers. And they're kind of freaking out. And because the people are starting to organize and mobilize, and I love that. So anyway, we got a note from a very upset lady, and she's a Democrat. And she says, I accepted an invitation to join this page because I'm concerned about crime in Memphis. I only realized later this group is shrouded in crime while looking to pick a political fight. I am proud to be a Democrat, but I also want to do everything possible to make our city and area safer for everyone. If you think those two concepts are mutually exclusive, then there's no commonality for us. And I will be okay to leave the group page. I'm not looking for an argument, a challenge, or a fight. If that is your response, then I will know it's best for me to leave. But, you know, there are plenty of us out here who still want to unite for our community. Think before you send us packing. And so I felt obligated to respond to this lady, since I'm the one who runs the page. And again, when you look at what's going on here, we've got a problem in this city and in this nation. And the reality is that the problem are the policies of the Democrats. So yes, you have to talk about the politics if you really want to get to the root of the problem. When you elect radical district attorneys who want bail reform and want to empty the jails, yeah, you're going to have problems. So anyway, I'm going to read this, and then I want to bring in a good friend of this program, and he's a member of our team here, and he's running for city council in Wichita, Kansas, because he's got some great thoughts on crime in America. So I wrote to this person, "Hi, Anonymous. I respectfully disagree with your premise. Politics is a very real and important part of the crime conversation. The facts are clear. We live in a community controlled by progressive Democrats. That's an irrefutable fact. The political policies imposed by the Democrats in control of our city have, in fact, led to a sharp increase in crime. Again, irrefutable facts. I have no doubt Democrats in the city want to be able to get gas without getting carjacked, but the Democrats knew exactly what they were going to get when they elected lawmakers who are more concerned about bail reform and emptying out the jails." And then I go on and talk about some local stuff that's not terribly important to the national audience. But the reality here is I have hope that the Democrats will actually give Republicans a chance. Clearly, they have failed. So let's give the Republicans a chance. All right, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And we're going to talk to our good friend, the chief executive officer of this company, and he is running for city council in Wichita, Kansas, Dalton Glasscock. Hey, Dalton, how are you?
Good morning, Todd. It feels like I just got done texting you about, you know, something at the station here a few minutes ago.
It's there's always something going on here at the building. Dalton, you are running for office, running for city council, and I know we have a lot of listeners in Wichita, KQAM. First of all, how's the campaign going?
It is going good. I think this week I just knocked on my 1,700th door. So it's a lot of wearing out my shoes, and I'm going to be looking for a new pair after the campaign's done.
And just to be clear, you're a Republican.
I am a Republican.
All right. So let's just jump into this. Wichita, it's a beautiful city. There's a lot to do there, a fun town. But it's my understanding that you guys are dealing with some crime issues.
We are. It's just like any other city across the country right now, and it comes down to how we're supporting our police officers. Right now, Wichita, in a police force of about 700, is down over 90 police officers, over 100 if you include those eligible for retirement that could walk away tomorrow. And so when you're down that many officers, you're going to be running into problems. And that seems to be the number one issue when I'm talking with voters, is they don't feel safe and they want a tough on crime policy and also making sure that we support our police officers.
And you see, this is shocking, I think, to a lot of people, because when you think Wichita, Kansas, the heartland, you think of a place where you don't have to worry about locking your doors at night. And you're telling me that you guys are dealing with the same crime issues that many other cities and metropolitan areas around the country are dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, in almost every category, our Wichita retail theft is up over 30% this year. When you look at, let's say some of the big box stores, so Cabela's, we're number one in the nation for theft at Cabela's, which if I'm going to rob any place, it's not going to be a Cabela's. That's not going to be my first choice.
They can shoot back, can't they? They've
right?
got guns.
That one does not make sense to me. We're also four out of 2,000 Victoria's Secret stores, and they lose over $30,000 per month.
Oh, that's just kinky.
So you go from Cabela's all the way to Victoria's Secret.
All right, y'all got some weird stuff going down in Wichita. If they're hitting the Victoria's
Secret, it might be a little bit easier to steal from Victoria's Secret than it is to walk out with a fishing pole from Cabela's.
Great, great. They're carjacking in lingerie in Wichita. Dalton, you were telling me a while back that you actually got to do a ride along. Now, this is really fascinating. I mean, you're kind of going the extra mile here and wanting to get elected. You were out with the police. What was that experience like for you?
We did not have a break from 5 p.m. to 3 a.m. I did the evening shift with South Patrol, which is where I'm running to represent. And it was every, serious crime from 5 p.m. to 3 a.m. We didn't have the time to handle traffic stops. We didn't have the time to handle other things. And so, when you're calling the cops, you're expecting them to be there very quickly, because in that moment, that is what matters to you most, because you feel unsafe. And right now, response time is long. It's not because the officers aren't doing their job. It's because we don't have enough officers on the street.
You see, I think that's a good point. And we're seeing the same thing in the Memphis area, is that people want to blame the cops, but the police are doing the best job they can do. I was listening to the scanner traffic on the 4th of July, and it was so bad. There was so much crime, so many shootings. They literally put the call out through the radio system for any officers willing to work extra hours, because they couldn't get to everything.
Yeah, I mean, you have officers here working overtime as well, and that's not a place that we should be putting our officers. They're in some of the most dangerous jobs that we ask our citizens to do, and they should be given the ability to also rest and recoup as well. And we want our officers well-equipped, so when they do hit the force, or they do hit their shift, they're ready to go. And I think it comes down to we need to make sure that it is a job that people are well-banked, whether that be pay, whether that be bonuses, whether that be incentives, to make sure that we can recruit and not also just recruit, but also retain talent so they don't go to, suburb communities or they don't choose to go work somewhere else that they don't have to be shot at every day.
Dalton Glasscock is running for city council in Wichita, Kansas, and they're dealing with a big crime problem there. Not enough resources for police officers. Dalton, you have a chance to talk to these officers. What are they telling you? What are their concerns?
They want support from leadership. They want support from people in elected office, and they want to know that somebody has their back making these budgetary decisions, but also making the decisions, about what incentives they're going to get as officers. And so I think, there's a few aspects that local government can do. First, we have to show that we're supporting our law enforcement and make sure that we're doing community outreach as police officers and as elected officials as well. but we also have to encourage and retain talent. And it also takes all partners. We have to make sure that we're holding criminals accountable, and our judicial system has to do that. Most local judicial systems or local jurisdictions don't have the ability to do that. But when we put people away, we want to make sure that violent criminals are being put away and that we have the strictest penalties in order to make sure that we get violent criminals and offenders off the street.
Yeah, well, we got to do that. And is this a big issue for the entire council, or is this just something you've made a significant issue for your campaign?
I would say, you know, everybody running, this is one of the number one priority issues. And it's because it's the number one priority issues to voters as well. We see it every single day. Just this past weekend, I was in downtown Wichita, and 5 minutes after I left, there is a mass shooting where 7 individuals got shot, 2 got trampled. And that was just about maybe 100 yards from where I was downtown. And so we want a community where people can stay safe downtown, but we also want a community where people can feel safe on their street, that they feel that when they call the cops will be able to show up, because that is their number one priority in that moment. And we need to, as elected officials, make sure we're supporting our police officers.
All right. Again, a lot of listeners in Wichita on KQAM, our great affiliate there. Dalton, where can people go if they want to get more information about your platform and see what you're up to?
Yeah, you can go to daltonglasscock.com. That's G-L-A-S-S-C-O-C-K. So daltonglasscock.com. The election day is coming up on August 1st. So we're nearing at least the primary finish line. And then if I am victorious on the primary, I'll move on to the general election in November.
All right. Good stuff. Now, before we let you go, this is just you and me talking here. Just, you know, the millions of people listening, just do something else for a second. So, Dalton, when you were traveling with the cops, did you get to arrest anybody by any chance?
I did not. I should have, you know, had the handcuffs in my hand and helped, but was not fully trained. We need trained officers as well. So
what about taser? Did you get to tase anybody? That's why I did not. All right.
Todd.
All right. Well, I don't want to get anybody in trouble just asking questions. You know, people are going to ask me.
Practice, next time I visit Memphis, we'll practice the taser with, you know, the staff and see who wants to volunteer, and we'll get some training.
We're not giving Grace Baker a taser gun. We're not doing that. That's not going to be good for you and me.
I was thinking Ben. Ben is the first one.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, that would work. All right, sounds good. All right, Dalton Glasscock, the chief executive officer, full disclosure, of my company, running for city council, a great Republican in Wichita, and we wish you the very best. Good luck, Dalton.
We'll talk soon.
All right, good guy right there. Got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. So, again, Wichita is a medium-sized city dealing with the same issues that the large cities are dealing with. And I'm curious if you are seeing the same thing happening in your communities. I have friends that live in Asheville, North Carolina, and it's just terrible what the liberals have done to that once beautiful city. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
The United States Border Patrol has exciting and rewarding career opportunities with the nation's largest law enforcement organization.
Border Patrol agents enjoy great pay, outstanding federal benefits, and up to $20,000 in recruitment incentives.
If you are looking for a way to serve something greater than yourself, consider the United States Border Patrol. Learn more online at cbp.gov/careers/USBP.
That's cbp.gov/careers/USBP.
All right, welcome back. Good to have you with us. Folks, I'm telling you, this cocaine story is really not a laughing matter. We're talking about national security issues. If they're going to be able to sneak cocaine into the White House, what else are they sneaking in, and what are they sneaking out of the White House that we don't know about? But again, we're dealing with some really, really nasty, nasty people here. We really are. And as bad as this cocaine story is, the story about Joe Biden's granddaughter, the little 4-year-old girl that he refuses to acknowledge even exists, folks, that tells you everything you need to know about this family. I mean, look at Jill Biden. Go back to the video. We've got this on our website, toddstearns.com. And look at Jill Biden's face. She looks like a very unhappy woman. A very unhappy family. So look, KJP asked the question about Hunter Biden's daughter yesterday at the White House, cut number 2.
There was a story in the New York Times over the weekend about Hunter Biden's daughter in Arkansas. Does the president acknowledge this little girl as his granddaughter?
I don't have anything to share from here.
Why not? What is KJP get paid to do? Be a moron? Because that's what she's coming across as every single time she gets up there and refuses to talk about these issues. She's coming across as a moron. But you know what's going to happen very soon is that this child, somebody's going to ask this child, and it may not be this year, but next year when she's 5 or 6 years old, and you're going to hear this little girl say, why does grandpa not love me? Why does grandma not love me? Now, maybe in the great scheme of things, the best possible thing for this little girl is to be as far away from that evil, perverted family as possible. Maybe that is the best thing here. Maybe it's best that this 4-year-old child does not carry Hunter Biden's last name. By the way, at his request. So Hunter Biden is rejecting the child that he sired. What does that say? What does that tell you about this family? You can say a lot of stuff about Donald Trump, but this man loves his family. This man will go the extra mile for his family. This man puts family above everything. And you can see that. But then when you look at the Biden family, these people need therapy. They need help. They need to get back to the church and they need to talk to their ministers because they're way off the reservation. Just unbelievable what's happening at the White House. But that to me is really the bigger story. I mean, there are two big stories here, and one of them has to do with national security, and I get that. But from a personal moral level, everything you need to know about Joe Biden is in that story about his granddaughter. The fact that Joe Biden and his wife, Dr. and Mrs. First Lady Joe Biden, took the time to put up Christmas stockings for every single grandchild except for the 4-year-old tells you something. The fact that Joe Biden and his wife hung up Christmas stockings for the family dogs, but they rejected the granddaughter, the love child, that's despicable. They love the dog more than they love this grandchild. That's who Joe Biden is. That's who Dr. and Mrs. First Lady Joe Biden is. These are very bad people we're talking about here. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, I want to circle back to Mark Levin for just a moment. Levin is now urging folks to head over to Amazon. Amazon, still a platform for conservatives and conservative authors. And he says, head over there, get copies of his books. And by the way, you can get copies of all mine there as well. Amazon has more or less been pretty good to us, but it's been tough, and it really is tough. And so, again, I thoroughly appreciate the situation that Mark Levin is in, and I'm glad he's speaking out. It would have been easier to stay silent, but you can't be silent anymore. You've got to stand up, and you've got to let people know so they can get out there and they can take action. That's what we need to be doing here. All right, look, we're coming up on the top of the hour. We're going directly to your phone calls when we come back from the top of the hour. But what concerns you more about Joe Biden, and what speaks more to his character? Is it the cocaine story, or is it the rejection of his granddaughter? 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, I have to tell you about our friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. Patriot Mobile has a plan to fit any budget, no matter how big or how small, and they've got great discounts for military veterans and first responder heroes. So if you'd like information, be sure to go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. Use my promo code, that's T-O-D-D, promo code Todd, and they're going to give you free premier activation and a free gift. Again, patriotmobile.com/Todd. You'll also be able to check out their website, great coverage, Just type in your zip code and all the information just pops right up. All right, folks, we're going to go directly to your calls. Hang tight. This is The Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Woo! I don't know how hot it is where you guys are at, but man, is it hot in Memphis, Tennessee. You walk outside, and it's like you get punched in the face with the humidity. It's really that warm. Anyway, thank God for air conditioning, right? Thank the good Lord for the AC. All right, as promised, I want to go right to the phones. We ran out of time in the last hour, and a lot of folks wanting to weigh in on Joe Biden and the crime syndicate. And the question we asked is very simple. What's worse? Is it the cocaine in the White House, or is it Joe Biden openly rejecting his granddaughter? 844-747-8868 is our phone number. Let's go to North Carolina. Steve in Hendersonville, North Carolina, WHKP, our great radio station there. All right, Steve, what say you?
Hello, Todd. Great honor to speak with you again. You and your team do a great job.
Well, thank you, Steve. Appreciate that.
I think it would be hilarious to have on repeat Jerry Springer's voice saying, "Joe Biden, you are the grandfather," until he fesses up and admits it.
Wow. It is like a Jerry Springer show, isn't it, Steve?
It is. Between that and the drugs in the White House, it just speaks to the character of the entire Biden family.
I mean, it really is, and you hate to use the term, but, you know, as a Southerner, I think we can say this with some knowledge. This is a white trash family. I mean, it's really unfortunate.
It sure is. We're counting the days to get rid of them.
Steve, by the way, who are you liking for 2024?
I cannot wait to vote for Donald J. Trump again.
How about that? I'm telling you, it's going to be, I think this is going to be a great, great race. I really do. Steve, God bless you, sir. Great call. Give us a holler back. I forgot all about Jerry Springer. God rest his soul. He just passed away, a couple of weeks back. Let's go to Thomas in North Carolina, WSIC in Statesville. Hi, Thomas. What's going on?
I'm a 77-year-old veteran, Vietnam veteran, and I heard the biggest truth yesterday I've ever heard on the radio, on television, anywhere. And that is when you said there's a bunch of white trash up there in the White House talking about that little 4-year-old girl. And that is the biggest bunch of white trash I've ever seen.
Thomas, I mean, you don't like to call folks that, but sometimes you just have to call it like it is. And
that's right.
It's unfortunate, but that's what we've got up there.
That's exactly right.
All right. Thomas, by the way, who are you liking for 2024?
Oh, I'm 1,000% Donald Trump.
I love it. Thomas, I'm telling you, I think this president, I think he's going to win in a landslide. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
He's got to.
Yes, sir, he does. Thomas, God bless you, and thank you for calling. You know, it's interesting. I am starting to see a lot of these pro-DeSantis people realize they hitched their cart to the wrong horse. And now they're starting to backtrack, and many of them are just doing a complete turnabout as if they never supported Ron DeSantis in the first place. And here's what I hope happens. I love our president, Donald Trump. He's a good and decent man. And I hope to high heavens that he remembers every single person in the movement who stabbed him in the back. Those people have no business being anywhere near the White House ever again. But I do believe if things go the way they're going to go, he's going to win in a landslide. I mean, this is insane, the numbers of people showing up. And sweet mercy. It's unfortunate for DeSantis because he's a better man. Ron DeSantis is a better man. He is a better governor than his campaign is leading us to believe. That campaign, those people ought to be fired and should never be allowed to run another Republican campaign in America. I'm telling you, I've never seen such a horrible campaign organization. They have really done a disservice to Ron DeSantis. And all that to say, folks, it's time to get on board the Trump train. It really is. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, I have a question for you guys, especially for, let's just say you're a business owner, not even a business owner. Let's say that you're looking to hire a babysitter, all right? And what do you ask for when you're hiring someone? You want their resume, right? You want to see what kind of work they've done, and you want to see what their education was, and you want to see if they have references so you can check the person out. Well, it turns out that a lot of Gen Zers are now adding their pronouns to their resume. And I have a question for you. If you are a business owner and someone sends you a resume and the resume includes their pronouns, what do you do with the resume? Do you toss it in the circular file? According to a new report from business.com, over 80% of non-binary people believe that identifying as non-binary would hurt their job chances. Ryan McGonigal is the director of research at business.com, says the stats show just how much work there is to do around diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging in the workplace. Now, let me stop you there. I run a company. I run a business. I'm not looking for any of these things. I'm looking for people that can do the job, right? I want the best, most qualified person that can run the audio boards. I want the best, most qualified engineer to run the tower location. I want the best, most qualified person to be the executive producer of my radio program. And by the way, I have all of those people. I have the best chief executive officer in all of America running this company. And you know, I've never asked their pronouns, and they've never put their pronouns on their resumes. But I'm just curious, if you're a business owner and somebody gives you a resume and they've got their pronouns listed, what do you do with that? Do you actually hire these people? It's very strange. Very strange. By the way, another interesting item. This is from the New York Post. So Gen Zers, they're poking fun at the older crowd, and they call them boomers, but I'm a Gen Xer and I do this. So Gen Z has now banned scrolling the phone with their index finger. Is this true? Now, Dylan, you're a member of Generation Z. Have you guys gotten that memorandum? Did some sort of an email go out to all of you people?
No, I think we just grew up with our thumbs, as our scrolling dominant, finger. I don't know what it is.
So now they're calling you guys Zoomers, by the way.
Oh, no.
Zoomers are now refusing to scroll phones with their pointer fingers to avoid looking like they're old and out of touch baby boomers. So how do you scroll?
Personally, I scroll with my thumb, but I see my parents sometimes scroll with their finger, and they're like closer up to their phone sometimes with the reading glasses.
Because we can't read. That's right. Our eyes are getting old.
It's okay. I mean, you can't poke fun because I know it's my time coming soon, but it's the thumb.
So you use the thumb.
Yep.
You're not alone. 80% of Zoomers, those are the people born between 97 and 2012, use their thumbs to peruse their smartphones. There is also, by the way, 65% of millennials do that. But I'm a Gen Xer, and I'm doing the finger thing. I was just sitting here doing it a little while ago.
I'm curious, do you type, when you're texting, do you use both of your thumbs or just one thumb?
I don't use my thumbs. I use my fingers.
Oh, no.
What?
It must take you forever to type a sentence.
It does. I hate it. I can't stand it.
And you got to use your thumbs more efficiently.
Oh, my Lord. It's terrible.
It's okay.
Four out of 10 Zoomers admit they feel self-conscious scrolling or playing games on their smartphones in public using their industry. All right. Well, wait a second. Wait. So I only have one game on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's solitaire. And I actually use the finger. You're supposed to use your thumbs?
Right. I guess. You know, the only game that I use my index finger for is probably Angry Birds. Because you gotta aim it a little bit, I guess. But anything else, it's the thumbs. Get with it.
So a waitress, I went to one of these, like, one of your people restaurants. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of the cool hip places. And I'm playing solitaire waiting for my food. And the waitress caught me. And she looked at me like, oh,
sir,
you're old. I mean, it was that, wow, you need more. You need new games,
right,
is what she was saying. I mean, she can't come out and say that, but that's what she, maybe I do, but I wouldn't even know where to begin.
I would suggest chess. Chess is a good middle. Everybody likes chess, I think.
I can't. By the way, Dalton Glasscock just tweeted back in. He says, I'm a thumb as a millennial. Okay, that doesn't help me. I feel I'm going to be self-conscious now.
We need to ask our chief engineer what he uses.
Oh, Lord.
He's up there with you, too.
No, he's like talking, and he's got like all the great stuff. He talks into his phone. It's like, do this, Siri, do that. And, you know, it happens.
He's way ahead of both of us.
It happens. I don't know what to say. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, what about you? Are you a thumb person or a finger person? And if you have some game suggestions that I can download, because clearly I've been playing solitaire. That's all I do is play solitaire. It's really unfortunate. Maybe I'm boring. I don't know. All right. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, I have to tell you about our friends over at Newsmax. They're crushing the competition, folks. It's pretty exciting. Look, Newsmax is where real people go for real news. Every night, they've got a powerful lineup. Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling. Americans are turning to Newsmax for the news that you can trust. Newsmax, by the way, they're running a new poll on President Trump. If you want to take part, I would encourage you to text the word Trump right now to 39747. That's Trump to 39747. You can vote right now. Make sure your voice is heard. Newsmax is now America's fastest growing cable news channel. So tune in for the latest on President Trump and be sure to vote in Newsmax's Trump poll. Text Trump right now to 39747.
Did an alien really become president and change the course of history forever? Is there a link between the White House and the recent discovery of interplanetary vehicles? Does Barack Obama have powers from beyond? Find out as Area 51 Pictures presents The Day the Truth Stood Still. In 2008, a complete unknown without a verifiable personal history runs for President of the United States.
Senator, are you from Chicago, Hawaii, Indonesia, or Kenya?
You're not even close. Easily defeating Hillary Clinton without a resume, Barack is chosen as the leader of the formerly free world.
I do solemnly swear to always sometimes follow the Constitution, things that I agree with, and the Bill of Rights, except for that pesky Second Amendment, so help me, Lenin.
Even as he is sworn in, his influence somehow spreads to control the people, the press, and the Nobel Prize Committee.
Hey, thanks for the Peace Prize.
After 8 long years of destroying everything from marriage to the FBI, Barack leaves the White House only to return 4 years later, running his rusty old robot, Joe Biden.
Klaatu, Barada, Nikto, Joe.
It looks like he's just now learning how to walk.
Or he forgot how.
Flanked by his trusty VP, Kamala, Joe begins destroying what little Obama left behind.
We will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work together on.
Joe, that artificial intelligence thing, It isn't working out so well.
What?
Will an extraterrestrial being continue to ignore truth, reality, and the Constitution? Will Joe fall on his face again and again? Will intelligent life be found inside the White House? See for yourself in The Day the Truth Stood Still. Coming to a primary season near you.
All right, the great Paul Shanklin putting together another masterpiece for us. So well done, sir. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program as we celebrate 6 years on the air. And it is an exciting time for us. You know, we're basically a mom-and-pop national radio show, and we're doing what the big guys at the big corporate radio houses said was absolutely impossible. They said it's impossible for a person to be independent and to grow a national radio show, and we are proving every single day that that is simply not the case, and we're doing so because of you great folks. And by the way, we're excited next. So my next book, it's coming out in March, and we're going to be doing a big nationwide book tour. We're going to be coming to a lot of radio stations around the nation, and we're going to be talking to your local affiliates about that. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to getting out and seeing so many of our great friends out there. Let's get to the phones, though, 844-747-8868. Mike in Georgia. Mike, what's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you, I'm glad you had your 6th anniversary. And
thank you.
I like that. And you was talking about fingers and thumbs and phones. I've got a flip phone, and I don't text or I don't play games on it. I don't have any games. So I don't worry about the thumb or the finger. So.
Mike, good for you. So that phone still works. The flip phone still works for you.
Yeah. Well, something happened to it, and I had to get a new one, and they still got them available some places. So
I love anyway. It. I love it. Mike, do you still have a landline at your house?
No, we got rid of that. In my business, though, I got one.
Yeah, I'm wondering how many people across the country still have those old landlines. Those are... a lot of folks gave those up especially over the past decade or so.
Absolutely. You know, the phone books are getting thinner and thinner.
They are.
Yeah.
Remember when those used to arrive by post? You felt bad for the post office on that day.
They were heavy and lots of them. Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's true. Mike, the guys across the glass here are like, what's a phone book? What's a flip phone?
I bought this one less than a year ago. It was $40.
Wow. $40. Yeah. Well, that's a way to do it. I'm not going to tell you how much I paid for the new iPhone. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. I don't even know how to use this thing.
I'm still trying to figure it out. Mike, appreciate that call. Yeah. We're going to have to let you go. Are you calling us on the flip phone, by the way?
I am. I'm talking to you on it right now.
Well, how about that? Coming in loud and clear. All right. Hang tight. Mike, appreciate that call. We've got Bill in Cordova, Tennessee, coming up. Plus, our good friend Ben Dieter, who was a guest on C-SPAN. This is going to be a great story. All right. 844-747-8868. That's our number. We'll be right back, America. Right. Welcome back, everybody. I'm excited about this segment. So earlier today, Ben Dieter, you were telling me, and by the way, Ben Dieter is the host of the morning show on KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee. And Dieter, you were making fun of me, and I had no idea that you were making fun of me as I was scrolling through my phone, and you made the comment that I was using my finger to scroll through and I thought, well, that's very astute of you. I had no idea until I read the story a little while ago that you were mocking me.
Which would explain why we didn't talk about this on the morning show that we did.
I didn't understand.
I said, hey, Todd, check out this story. Gen Z bans scrolling phone with index finger. That's for, oh, Todd, you're doing it. And it's okay, Todd.
I don't get it. I don't understand you people. I don't understand you people.
Well,
I'm trying to.
You know, one finger works just as good as your thumb.
Oh, I'm thinking about a finger. But it's not the pointer finger.
It's not the index or the thumb.
That's right. That's right, Gen Z. I got a finger for you.
All right.
All right. Wow, that escalated quickly. All right, welcome. You know what it is? Someone gave me some Black Rifle coffee, and it's like black coffee and then extra black and then like XXX black, and I'm like wired today.
It's not that white powdery stuff, though.
I thought they said it was cream. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. Wow. Again, this escalated quickly. So, 4th of July, and I get a note that Ben Dieter, who is, you know, who again works at KWAM, is on C-SPAN, which is probably, it's center-left, if anything. I think an argument can be made that it is liberal. In other words, they don't have a lot of conservatives on. And I thought it was fascinating because they invited Ben Dieter to come on the program. Let's play cut number three.
You mentioned you're broadcasting from a dark blue county. You're a conservative radio talk show host. What do you do when you get folks who are called the absolute opposite, who are liberal, progressive, and call you to task on your views? Do you blow them off quickly, or do you engage them?
You've got to engage those listeners, because what are you doing in Memphis then? You know, there would be easier places in America to broadcast from as a conservative. And listen, they will get on there and they will hold you accountable for things, different takes that I take on the show. And it could get lively, and sometimes it can get a little bit heated. I've learned a lot from these people, from these listeners, and I hope they've learned from me. And no, I don't blow them off at all. In fact, I think that's the best radio. Best TV is when there's actually a little bit of back and forth.
So, I thought this was a brilliant interview. And this was like a 6-minute interview. Did you know it was going to be that long when they invited you on?
No, I didn't. And it was a really neat opportunity. I'm very thankful for them for giving our flagship station, the one you talk about here in Memphis, a platform. And I really didn't know the program. I'm just going to be honest with your listeners. I don't watch C-SPAN.
Washington Journal.
Washington Journal.
It's their top most popular program. So yeah. C-SPAN's not on the...
For your listeners, I'm young, okay? We're all on TikTok and Instagram and not spending a ton of time watching C-SPAN. So I got on the phone with Todd after the interview. Is it okay that I told him a conservative? Because I told them right on air, well, Bill, I'm a conservative, and it went fine, but it was an interesting
format. I thought that was brilliant, because I think you threw the guy off. I think he thought you were a liberal because you were younger. You're what, 24, 25? All right, so you're young. He thought you were a liberal
from
Memphis, and you come out and say, I'm a conservative. He was like, oh, crap.
Well, it was the first thing I said. He said, so what do you do? I said, well, I am a conservative radio talk show host in dark, dark blue Shelby County, Memphis.
So, you know, the idea, though, that just because you're conservative, they actually assume, and if you listen to the line of questioning, they're assuming that you don't listen to the other side. But that is simply not the case. And as a conservative, I love people coming on who don't agree with us, because I believe in our ideas, and I believe our ideas are superior, and I'm willing to defend those ideas.
Well, just yesterday on the show, on our morning show, Wake Up Memphis, that Todd and I do in the morning, we had a listener call in and say that Todd and I needed to pay reparations. And that's okay. She's allowed to have that opinion. Are we going to pay her reparations? No, we're not paying reparations.
I'm getting the test. I'm getting the test. If Todd's, I've got like a morsel, a little morsel in my family lineage in the family tree, I'm claiming the reparations.
Is that why I saw you leave Suntan City the other day?
I don't want to talk about that. Okay. I will say this, though. I have been, you know, I do tan well in this naturally. So I'm a natural tanner. And by the end of the summertime, I could self-identify.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a good chance I just might.
And I'll give Todd some big credit, because not only is he my boss, they pay my paycheck. But you've decided to open up a business in a really liberal place. I mean, Memphis is beyond. And I did not realize that when I first took the job.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Every other day they're calling you a racist. And at some point you do get a little bit of that Teflon. It's like, it's not a big deal anymore. Nah, it should be, but when they use it so frequently. And yet we still have such a following, and it's growing every single day. And I don't think that's only conservatives listening to the Mighty 990. It is the Democrats here in Memphis as well.
So when you're right, and it would have been easier to buy a radio station somewhere else and do what we do, but I don't think it would be nearly as fun. And this is war. You know, it really is war. When I'll never forget when Andrew Breitbart, came out and before he died, and he said, you know, the left wants to come out and they want to call us fascist. They want to call us racist or homophobes or whatever. He said, that's fine. War. And it's true. That's what it is. But we do it as joyful, happy warriors. I think we have a good time here on the radio station. And again, I think that's hard for people to understand. When you listen to NPR, the National Public Welfare Radio, there's a sense of anger and there's a sense of self-entitlement that we don't have here because we don't exist off of taxpayer dollars. We go out there and we earn our own way. And that's the American way.
And conservatives are actually the most tolerant demographic in America. And I think to that interview on C-SPAN, it was almost shocking that we would be conservatives in Memphis and take those questions from those listeners. And to that, would we not? Is there an option to not answer the phone call if it's a liberal or a Democrat? Now, sometimes I might like to hang up, I'm going to be honest, but we still take those calls.
Our good buddy Lars Larson, the naysayers, go to the top of the list. I love that because, again, Lars is confident in the belief system he has. I want to play another soundbite from this interview that you did. Again, Ben Dieter from KWAM on C-SPAN, cut number 4.
Ben Dieter joining us this morning from Memphis. Tell us about your show. When are you on? What are your listeners like there in Memphis?
Well, we broadcast this show from dark blue Shelby County, and I'm a conservative radio talk show host. So it's been an interesting 2 years. I've been doing a morning show in the community for about 2 years now. And I've learned a lot from these listeners, Bill. You know, it is my job to get on, know the news of the day, have the headlines ready at 7 o'clock with a piping hot cup of coffee. But I have actually learned from them. And I think to go back and swing back to the 4th of July, that's what it's all about. You know, learning from your neighbors, your community, and becoming a smarter and more prosperous a community member.
All right. Look, again, it goes back to what is the point of doing radio and why is AM radio so important? And Ben, I don't know about you, but for me, it's taking the calls from listeners and then really building a relationship with listeners. And we do that here on this program every day. And I would like to think that folks, we describe our show as a great big national front porch. Pull up a rocking chair, a glass of sweet tea, and let's have a conversation.
You can still fight on the front porch.
Well, yeah.
Just
throw
make
you off
sure
the front porch.
Have your shotgun ready.
Shotgun. Oh,
that's
geez, hello.
Proverbial.
All right. Ben Dieter, congratulations. That was a lot of fun.
You've taught me some things along the way.
Well, you know.
You know, Todd's a TV star, and I was, you know, they talk about A Star Is Born. Isn't that a movie? Is that a song? A C-SPAN star was born over the weekend.
You did well. you did well.
Thank you.
You represented Memphis proudly, and we're excited for you, and especially KWAM. All right, Ben Dieter, ladies and gentlemen, you can hear his podcast, by the way. Go to kwamradio.com. That's kwamradio.com and hear Ben's take on just about everything. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up, our good friend, Governor Mike Huckabee, is going to drop by. Also, Congressman Mark Alford will be here talking about wokeness in the military. We'll be right back.
Johnny Saddlebags.
Slippery Pete.
This town ain't big enough for the both of us.
Ain't but one thing to do.
Yep, start banking at community banks.
Say what now?
We'll grow this town bigger by doing business with community banks. That way, our money will get reinvested locally and help small businesses grow and prosper.
Son of a saddle spur, this town will be big enough for the both of us.
Help your community grow. Find your community bank at banklocally.org.
All right, something weird just happened. There's a White House press gaggle. Somebody just sent me the transcript of this. And the White House spokesperson, not KJP, they're out on the road today, had a question. So one of the reporters said, former President Trump made some pretty wild posts recently on social media. One of them was that the cocaine found in the White House had either belonged to the president or his son. Are you willing to say that's not the case, that they don't belong to him? Now, Dylan, turn your microphone on. I know you're a music business major, so you're not a political guy, but you're going to pretend that you just got promoted to be press secretary of the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Here we go. And somebody asks you, does the cocaine belong to the president or his son? What would you say?
I would be honest with the people, Todd. I wouldn't do what they do.
No. You say, no, of course it's not. What's wrong with you? Get off of the plane right now. You're taking a taxi back to Washington.
This is why I'm not in government.
Oh, dear. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Dylan. No, appreciate you playing. No, the answer is, no, of course not. What's wrong with you? The president of the United States, and you're saying the president does cocaine, that the president snorts cocaine, that the president slips a little cocaine into his porridge, his oatmeal? What's wrong with you? But that's not what they answered with. So here is the answer. Quote, I don't have a response to that because we have to be careful about the Hatch Act. Well, you might be asking, well, what is the Hatch Act? Well, the Hatch Act limits political activities of federal employees. That's a very bizarre answer to this question. So the guy goes on to say, what I will say is that I have noticed there does seem to be some increasing frustration coming from that corner in general. And I think it is probably rooted in the contrast between their substantive policy records. As you all have covered, there is a long list of areas where this administration succeeded for the middle class where our predecessor did not. And the guy goes on and on and on and on. So, and then he goes to say, so it would be unsurprising if there's a little bit of frustration on the part of the people who worked in the last administration. Ladies and gentlemen, the White House spokesperson did not answer the question. And the question was very simple. Are you willing to say that the cocaine did not belong to President Biden or his son? And the White House refused to answer that question. What do you make of that? 844-747-8868. By the way, Paul Shanklin just sent me a text message. He says, regarding the Hatch Act, it means she doesn't want to lay an egg. Well, there you go. Thank you, Mr. Shanklin. Appreciate you there. All right. So now the question President Trump is very rarely wrong on these things. Has somebody on the inside, and you know a lot of the Secret Service guys can't stand Joe Biden, have they been leaking intel out? I mean, really? Oh, by the way, President Biden in South Carolina just a little while ago said that soon you're going to be able to go through the Hudson River Tunnel 100 miles an hour instead of 30 miles an hour because of him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go through the Hudson Tunnel at 100 miles an hour, you will be dead. It really is that simple. Unbelievable. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So I want to play some audio here. This is an R&B singer, and she is performing a rendition of the national anthem. Now, this young lady, her name is Jill Scott. She is worth $12 million, and she says that she is an oppressed black woman in America. Let's take a listen. Cut number 7.
Oh, say, can you see?
Ooh, a little pitchy.
By the blood in the streets, that this place doesn't smile on you, colored child.
What?
Whose blood built this land with sweat and their hands?
Hallelujah.
But you'll die in this place, and your memory
Come on now, sister. Come on. Bring it home. Bring it home, lady.
Anyway, this is not the land of the free.
Oh, come on now. Hit those high notes. Come on, woman. Come on, glory.
But the home of the slave.
All right. Find a note there, darling. Find a note. There you go. All right. Well, it wasn't Whitney Houston, but there you go. That performance at the Essence Festival. And Miss Scott, there you have it, says that America is the home of the slaves. You know, I've got the lyrics up at toddstearns.com. We have it printed out for you. Have you ever, remember when you were a kid and you were in school and you had to write a poem and it had to rhyme and you tried to find the words to make it rhyme, but you had to sort of like, it was like those puzzle pieces that almost fit, but you kind of shove it in there. That sounds exactly like what she's done here, because some of the words, some of the lyrics make no sense at all. This place doesn't smile on you. Anyway, very strange. All right, you can watch it for yourself at toddstearns.com. But this woman is worth $12 million. I mean, thoughts and prayers to you, Miss Scott. I mean, I can't imagine. She probably can only afford a junior suite at the Ritz-Carlton. I mean, that's just tragic in America. We'll be right back, folks.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program. So happy to have you with us today. You know, I ran into Hogan Gidley, our good friend previously of the Trump administration. I was over in Washington a couple of weeks ago, and he says, you know, Stearns, he goes, I think your radio show, you have the best theme music of all the radio programs in America. And I said, I completely agree. So there you go. Anyway, good to see Hogan, and we're going to try to get him here in studio back when he is in the area. He's originally from Mississippi, so a good old Mississippi boy. We'll try to get him over to our studios in Memphis. A lot going on this hour. Congressman Mark Alford is going to join us a little bit later on. We're going to be taking your calls as well, 844-747-8868. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend from across the river in Arkansas, Governor Mike Huckabee. Hey, Governor, how's it going today? Hello, Governor. All right, let's put Governor Huckabee on hold, and we'll try to get all that figured out. But anyway, Governor Huckabee will be on in just a matter of moments. Yesterday, we told you the story about Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and she is making some headlines, very positive headlines. Americans United coming after Governor Huckabee because her children used chalk, the sidewalk chalk, to create a beautiful drawing. And that drawing featured a cross and some sort of a stained glass window design. It was just beautiful. And I have to tell you that Americans United became very enraged, and they accused Governor Huckabee of violating, or Governor Sanders, rather, of violating the law, that it was unconstitutional for her own children to paint this beautiful symbol on the driveway of the governor's mansion, which is absolutely outrageous. So instead of bowing down to these out-of-town, godless, heathen secularists, Governor Sanders took a very bold stand and said, you know what, we're not going to do that here. No, 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 we stand up for our freedom. We stand up for our faith. And Governor Sanders says she is not going to be hiding behind some sort of a tree. She's going to practice her faith publicly. And I say, good for you, Governor Sanders. Good for you. All right, we're having an issue with our phone, so my apologies, and we'll try to get this worked out. We were scheduled to talk with Governor Huckabee, and if we can get him back, we'll do our best, and if not, we'll try to figure that out and reschedule the governor. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, interesting new report out. We have some brand new polling numbers. President Trump holding a big lead over Joe Biden in the swing states. This coming from Newsweek. According to the Echelon Insight survey, 48% of the people in battleground states said they would definitely or probably vote for the Republican who is the favorite to clinch the GOP nomination. That's compared to 41% who say they would back Joe Biden. So the polling data is, it's all starting to come together, and we are in the very early stages of all of this, folks. But I'm telling you right here and now, things are looking very good for Donald Trump. And I, honest to goodness, I don't see any candidate that's coming close to Trump. Right now, as a matter of fact, you've got Ron DeSantis, who is fighting for his life, his political life. Vivek Ramaswamy is already in double digits and is knocking on Ron DeSantis' back door. So this is great news for the Trump campaign. And the question now becomes, okay, where does Trump go for a vice president? Well, one of the individuals people are talking about happens to be an incredibly well-informed and popular governor in South Dakota, Kristi Noem. She was on Fox and Friends earlier today, and here's what she had to say about the support that President Trump is getting. Cut number nine.
So let's talk about the Republican field. I know you have not ruled out running, but looking at the field, you have quality candidates. Even I see Democrats admitting that. But yet the president's lead is strong. Do you think it's because of his team and his message, or do you think the field is underachieving?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily because of his team. I think it's because of him. I think he's a fighter. And every day Americans get up and they're shocked by what they see happening in the United States of America. And they recognize that when President Trump was in office, that they were safer, that their national security concerns were not at the level that they are today, that they had more money in their pocket. Food didn't cost so much. Gas didn't cost so much. And they're thinking, wow, I'd do anything to get that back again. And this president doesn't give up. I think that's what's incredible about President Trump is he is a fighter. So we've got great people running. I'm not going to say that some of these candidates don't have a lot of opportunities here. But with President Trump in that race and us needing someone who will really go to the mat for the American people, I don't see how they get the traction to come out on top.
$35 million he's put up in the last quarter raising. Mm-hmm. It's an extremely high number. Do you think the word is DeSantis will get close to that? Do you think if there's anyone to emerge out of the field, it would be him?
You know, I've run probably 11 campaigns now, Brian, and what mattered to me was the small donors, the people who cared enough to send you $5, $10. President Trump has millions of small donors that invest in him. They maybe aren't rich people, they aren't big donors, but they go out there and they use their hard-earned money to get a leader elected. I don't think any of the other candidates have that kind of commitment from the people that invest in them. They have big donors that write them big checks. I think that is powerful. But those small donors that President Trump has really sends another message as well.
I think the governor is onto something here. And it's pretty clear that the rank and file, the base of the party, they've already made their decision. So the question, if you're Ron DeSantis, the question for you is, all right, what is it going to take for those Trump supporters to stop supporting Donald Trump and to start supporting me? What needs to happen? And folks, I'm telling you, I don't see anything happening. I don't see a single thing that could happen that would sway those Trump voters. Now, even more importantly is the behavior of Team DeSantis and the ugliness and the dirty tricks and the behind the scenes backstabbing. I think that backfired. I really do. And again, I don't necessarily blame DeSantis, but at the end of the day, he's the guy in charge. He's the one who has to tell his campaign, you guys screwed this up. You're all fired. He's the one who's going to have to figure this out for himself. But it looks to me like DeSantis needs to go back to the governor's mansion and he needs to finish out his term, finish strong, and then take a look at 2028 and see what things look like there. There may be even be an opportunity for him to come on board the Trump administration. Maybe that's where the olive branch is extended. But if I'm Donald Trump right now and I'm looking at DeSantis, I'm seeing someone who cannot help me in a national race because DeSantis is not moving the needle. So now Donald Trump has the decision to make. Who do I pick as vice president? Do I go with someone like a Kristi Noem from South Dakota? Is she that well known that she could bring him votes? Or do you go with somebody like Tim Scott, who is incredibly popular in South Carolina? It would mean that you would win all of those early primary and caucus states. So what do you do at that point? So who does Trump pick as his running mate? And what does that look like? 844-747-8868. Again, our telephone lines are down. We have been dealing with this problem for a while now with Comcast. And not exactly the most helpful people, if you know what I mean. So we'll be checking out your comments on our social media page. If you want to weigh in on our Facebook live stream, you can do that. We'll be reading some of your comments there. Again, this is the Todd Starn Show. All right, fingers crossed here, ladies and gentlemen. Let's try the phone lines out. Let's start in North Carolina. Michael, listening to us on WSIC. Michael, let's talk about Trump's running mate. What does the president need to be looking for?
Well, I don't think he needs to look at any of the field that's running right now. I don't think. To be honest with you, I think if he's going to pick somebody, I think it's going to be a woman, and I think it'll be. A good chance it might be Marjorie Taylor Greene.
From Georgia, you think so? Congresswoman Greene.
Oh, that'd be a good one. She's a fighter now.
What do you like about MTG?
I like because she lays it all out there. She don't hold nothing back. She's got a backbone about her.
She's
a little pistol.
Well, no doubt about that. She and Lauren Boebert have been going at it lately, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so very good. So we will put that. We're going to write down MTG, but you don't think any of the current people running would be qualified?
Well, I mean, if he's going to pick a man, Tim Scott's good.
He's very popular in South Carolina.
Yeah, he'd be a good one, but. If he's leaning towards picking a woman, Nikki Haley's not going to get it done. So,
Okay. No. I don't think so. I'm with you.
She's too much on the rhino side.
Yes, sir. I hear you there, Michael. Appreciate the call and good insight. I've been hearing that Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee may be on that list, and I think she'd do a tremendous job. She is an incredibly intelligent person, and her foreign policy experience is spot on accurate. And I will say this. Nobody has been as fierce on China in the Senate as Marsha Blackburn. And Trump's going to need that kind of foreign policy oomph, that heft in the administration. All right, 844-747-8868. The question, what does Trump need to be looking for in a running mate? And who would you like to see? Who would you like to see him paired up with? Let's go to Charles in North Carolina. Hey, Charles, what say you?
Hey, Todd. So, Todd, as far as the selection of a running mate goes, I think this is all about the math and getting to 270 electoral votes. And I think in order to achieve that, you're going to have to pick somebody from a swing state. Although I like Kristi Noem and I like Tim Scott, those are not swing states. If Donald Trump can hold his nose, maybe he should nominate Brian Kemp from Georgia, who has a proven record. And he certainly needs Georgia in order to get to 270. The other person I would suggest possibly would be Carrie Lake from Arizona, who is very loyal. She can fire up a crowd and has a following. And lastly, I'm going to throw out my own lieutenant governor here in North Carolina, Mark Robinson, somebody that's equally as passionate. And I think he could help Donald Trump penetrate the African-American community and pick up off enough votes.
Now, that's interesting, Charles. I know your lieutenant governor very well. We've been friends for a long time, and he's incredibly powerful. My understanding was he was more interested in being governor of North Carolina.
That's true. He is running for governor. Yeah, he's running for governor, and I think he would make a great governor. And maybe that'll be the path that he goes. But I think it definitely has to be somebody from a swing state and somebody that's going to be loyal, not stab you in the back, and somebody that's going to be just as equally passionate to go out there and implement the Donald Trump's policies and the MAGA agenda. But that's what I think he needs to do.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Brian Kemp. Daily Beast did a story a few days ago, and they're reading the tea leaves, and they think that Kemp may be interested in running for president. But I just don't see that. I mean, he's popular, and we can ask our listeners in Georgia. I mean, people really like Brian Kemp. I know there was a lot of anger and hatred there with the whole Trump stuff, but the guy won in a landslide for reelection. So, I see what you're saying. And, of course, Georgia is going to be a swing state.
Correct, yeah. And, I've had my issues with Brian Kemp as well, and I know that Donald Trump has, but maybe those two guys can bury the hatchet. But I think Lake or Kemp, either one of those two would be an excellent choice.
Well, no doubt that Carrie Lake did pull some significant votes in Arizona. You know, the problem with Carrie Lake, and it's politics, and she's a political novice. She didn't understand that she needed the John McCain voters. And she told him, you know, to get the hell out. That cost her the election.
I agree.
So
100%.
So you got to have every vote.
You do. And these people that are running against Trump right now, this is no longer a race. This is a runaway. Donald Trump has this thing locked up. I don't think he needs to debate them in next August. I think he just needs to focus on Joe Biden and punch up and don't punch down to these other minor candidates right now. And I think they should drop out of the race. And Todd, I get text messages every day from these guys wanting money. And as soon as I get the text message, I just put in there stop equal end. Other than Donald Trump, every single one of those gets a stop because I'm not giving any money to anybody but Donald Trump.
There you go. Charles, appreciate that intel, and we appreciate you listening. Folks, Charles raises an interesting point. The president is going to need somebody from a swing state, somebody that will bring votes. Brian Kemp will bring the votes in Georgia, probably more so than Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm not sure they can repair that relationship, though. I don't know if that's possible. But Carrie Lake in Arizona, now that is interesting. But the question becomes, okay, is Carrie Lake qualified to be president should she have to step into that role? Well, I think she'd be more qualified than Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. So there's that question. Carrie Lake got a lot of votes. And it was a political minefield. And unfortunately, a couple of those mines blew up. Setting aside any kind of shenanigans that were out there, had she just embraced and gone to the McCains and said, the McCain voters, and said, hey, look, we may disagree on a lot, but we're Republicans and we need to stand together. I think they would have given her the vote. And if they hadn't have, then it would have been on them. But maybe she's learned the lessons there. You can't alienate too many people in your own party or you're not going to win the general election. I'm just saying that's where we go. So we'll be taking your calls on that. Again, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up, Congressman Mark Alford from Missouri is going to drop by. We also have some breaking news from NBC. So they've got sources that are now saying that this cocaine was discovered very close to the Situation Room. We're going to play that audio when we come back. So this story is getting more and more bizarre. All right, again, our number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
The big change is where this was found. It was found, by my observation, in a much more secure place, limited access place, than that West Wing reception area. It's still a publicly frequently trafficked place, but it's down near the Situation Room, right off West Executive, down below. And normal people, just average people, just can't get in there, even with the entry from the Northwest Gate.
Well, let me bring you up to date with the reporting that I have. What we have learned is that there are, in fact, two West Wing entrances. You know that, I know that, but for the benefit of our audience. And now the investigation has progressed, and so they're saying the West Executive entrance, which, as you noted, is closer to the Situation Room and closer to the Navy mess, where there's the facilities for food and so forth. It is also next to West Executive Drive. That's where, for example, the vice president's vehicle is parked.
All right. That's the reporting of MSNBC about this cocaine scandal. And it is growing and it is not good. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman Mark Alford from the great state of Missouri joins us. Congressman, what's going on here? This is not good.
No, it's not, Todd. It's a continued embarrassment to our nation. Of course, this president I think he welcomes embarrassment. He welcomes weakness. They're woke, they're broke, and now they got coke in the White House of the United States of America. And it'll be interesting to see how far they go in investigating this, the Secret Service, to find out exactly where it comes from. You know, some folks are scared to say the name Hunter Biden. But when you've had Hunter Biden in the White House unchecked, they are not releasing his visitation records. They made that quite clear. And I think some investigations need to be done, keep on going to see exactly where this came from.
This is clearly criminal behavior, right? I mean, it's illegal to use cocaine. And again, on the premises of the White House, and they literally want us to believe that, oh, we may never know who did it. It's the White House, Congressman.
Well, look, this could have been even much worse. A white powdery substance, it could have been anything, poisonous. To get that close to the President of the United States, to come on the official residence of the Commander-in-Chief, it's an embarrassment. You've been to the White House. I was there a couple of weeks ago as the chief celebrated their their Super Bowl victory. It is not easy, even for a member of Congress to get into the White House. The searches there are done through different levels of metal detectors and drug dogs that are there and other search dogs that are there. And so to say that this was just, or to allude that it was just some random visitor to the White House that may have just left it in this common area, well, now we're finding out it wasn't that common after all. But this is still part of the obfuscation, the lying, the gaslighting of the American people perpetrated by the Biden administration.
Meanwhile, the administration just continues to unravel. Over the weekend, a report came out from the Federalist talking about and detailing how America's rainbow military commemorated the July 4th weekend. And, of course, there was a lot of conversation on social media about U.S. Army Major Rachel Jones, a man who identifies as transgender, and they were promoting this man as someone whose resilience shines as a hope for others facing similar struggles. That's a direct quote from the Department of Defense tweet that went out. And we're supposed to be surprised now to learn that nobody wants to join this kind of a military?
We have a definite recruiting crisis in the U.S. military. Recent surveys show that only 9% of American young people have any interest in getting into the military, any level of the armed services. We missed our recruitment goal by 25% the Army last year. We have legacy families, fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers and moms who are discouraging now their children from getting into military and following in their footsteps. And I firmly believe it's because of the wokeness that has been propagated and indoctrinated into our military through certain programs. On the House Armed Services Committee 3 weeks ago, we passed the NDAA, and we had many things in there trying to get things back on the right track, prohibiting funding for CRT programs, prohibiting funding for DOD Advisory Committee dealing with race, gender identity, sexual orientation, eliminating the drag shows, the drag queen story hours. We're halting the promotion of the drag queens as the digital ambassadors that, yes, are actually going on or were. And so we're trying to put a stop to this. It's going to take the military, though, waking up and realizing this is not how you promote patriotism.
Congressman, I'm curious if anyone on your staff or any member of Congress, if you guys have been able to talk to these young men and ask them point blank, why did you decide not to join the military?
I think it would be a very interesting discussion. We are traveling the district right now. We pulled over the side of the road here in the southern part of our district. We're not too far from Fort Leonard Wood. We train 80,000 personnel there a year. And it would be very interesting to go into some of these recruitment centers and try to follow up with some young men and women to find out exactly why they are not following through and are not willing to serve our country. I think that's a very good idea, Todd.
All right. Well, Congressman, we appreciate you taking a few minutes. I know you're a busy guy out in the district. A good friend of mine, my Congressman David Kostoff, does the same thing. And we appreciate you. And I know that the good people of your district do as well.
Thank you so much for what you do for our nation. And we have to remember, folks, while we have some great issues, great concerns in our country going on right now, our brightest days are ahead of us. We live in the greatest nation ever, and we need to work together to inspire people to greatness in America. So thank you and so much. God bless.
All right. There you go, folks. Congressman Mark Alford there from Missouri. That's the 4th Congressional District. And he's right. And I have hope, too. I feel encouraged that we are heading in the right direction. Look at the Moms for Liberty. They're coming under fierce attack right now, and I know it's got to be a really tough spot for them to be in. But, ladies, you're over the target, and that's why you're catching the flak. So you just keep doing what you're doing. We are changing this country, and it's, look, we didn't get in this condition overnight, and we're not going to get out of it overnight. But we are beginning to win the battles. The Supreme Court, and God bless President Trump. And I hope now if people would just, even never Trumpers and within our own party, if they would step back and understand the incredible victories that we just had over the past several days, this is unbelievable. Affirmative action gutted in this country. It's a remarkable thing that's happening. All right, let's go back to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Barbara is listening to us in Georgia on WDUN. Hi, Barbara. What's on your mind today?
Well, what's on my mind is what you were talking about just before you talked with the gentleman. The perfect candidate for vice president lives in Georgia. He is our former governor. He has been a member of Congress, and his name is Nathan Deal. He could be the perfect running mate for Trump, I believe. Are you familiar at all with Governor Deal?
I am familiar with him. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I know he's a Republican, served in Congress, and but was originally a Democrat, I believe. So back in the day, but he switched parties.
Well, it's like others have said. I think Zell Miller said it. The Democrat Party didn't leave. We didn't leave the Democratic Party. It left us. But he's very conservative, smart as a whip, and probably unavailable.
Well, all right. Well, there you go. We'll write that down, Barbara. So we've gotten three possible VP candidates from Georgia, one being your current governor, the other being a former governor, Nathan Deal, and, of course, Congresswoman MTG. All right, Barbara, appreciate that, and we'll be taking your calls on that. 844-747-8868. Again, that's 844-747-8868. By the way, I joined Threads, the new sort of Instagram, Twitter, and I guess it's okay. I don't know. It's, you know, it is what it is, what it is. I just don't know. Maybe it's going to work. I think over 10 million people have already signed up. So I don't know. I do not know. By the way, want to share this item from Politico. This was posted about an hour ago. Speaking of MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene is no longer a member of the Freedom Caucus after a vote last month. This is according to one member of the board. So this information is just now leaking out. Andy Harris called for the vote, and it's the first time the House Freedom Caucus has formally booted a member. According to Politico, by the way, and the vote was first reported by Politico last week, so they're getting some intel here. But Andy Harris, who's a regular on this program, and we'll try to get him on to figure out what went wrong, declined to say how he voted, but called the decision to remove MTG an appropriate action. A spokesperson for Green did not respond to a request for comment. But apparently there's a lot of bad blood there. And, of course, she and Lauren Boebert got into a heated clash on the House floor, which was quickly leaked to reporters. So, anyway, we'll keep you updated. But MTG no longer a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Let's go to David in North Carolina. Hi, David. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to throw a recommendation for VP out there for you.
I'm all ears.
Congressman Jeff Duncan, 3rd District, South Carolina.
Now, what do you like about Duncan?
Well, besides knowing him, he went to school with him. He's just a great guy. He's as conservative as you get, level-headed. He's the whole package, in my opinion. He'd be a good one.
David, we're writing that down. So you've got possibilities of your lieutenant governor, and then Duncan there in North Carolina. All right, let's go to Christopher in Georgia. Hi, Christopher. What say you?
Hey, Todd. It's good to talk to you. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Happy 6th anniversary.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate those kind words.
I have an idea for VP for Donald Trump. Someone who hasn't been talked about, and I don't know what their relationship is. I don't know if they get along or if she's even in the spotlight or is even would do it. But my assertion is Sarah Palin. I mean, could you imagine a better group? I mean, Trump could send Sarah Palin to North Korea, Russia, China. and know that she would take care of business.
Wow, I haven't thought about Sarah Palin in a very long time. Now, that is an interesting thought. You know, Christopher, I'm going to open this up to the listeners, because I honestly, she saved John McCain from losing in a landslide, an historic landslide, when Obama was running. And the only reason people voted for that ticket was because of Sarah Palin. And I know that
absolutely
it pains a lot of people on the McCain side, but that's just the honest truth of it. And I know because I was out there on the campaign trail and I saw it firsthand.
Yeah, and again, I don't know where she's at as far as politics these days. I don't know if she's over it, or don't know how she and Trump get along, but.
Well, they get along really well. They get along really well.
She would be one heck of a, you know, a very good, you know.
All right.
Could sit back and kick back and let Sarah.
Let her run the show. All right.
Exactly.
Christopher.
Well, not run the show. Not run the show.
No.
He would know when he implemented
the plan.
She was going to get the job done.
Yeah. I like it. Christopher, that's a great thought. What do you think here, folks? Sarah Palin. Haven't heard that name in a long time. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. John hanging out with us on Nuga Radio. Hi, John. What say you? What's on your mind?
I think if they take a governor away from the state that they're doing good in to be vice president, it could run the state. I vote Tucker Carlson.
Oh, so you like Tucker?
I do. I think he would be a great vice president because the liberals don't like him.
Well, that's true. I don't think the rhinos sure don't like him.
No, they don't.
All right. Very good, sir. Well, we will. We're going to write this one down and appreciate that, John. We've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. By the way, someone just called in, I think John from Chattanooga, and said, hey, what about Tucker Carlson? You know, it's interesting. Tucker, you know, he debuted his videos right on Twitter. And he's been releasing them, what, weekly now, I think? And so originally the first video was episode one, had 120 million views. And the engagement, 120 million. The most recent one, this would have been episode number 8, had only 8 million. So I understand that Tucker is hanging out on Twitter, but I'm not sure that's the most effective vehicle for Tucker Carlson. He needs to be back on TV. And quite frankly, Newsmax would be a great place for him to land. All right, let's go to North Carolina. Todd on the line. Hey, Todd, what's going on?
Hey there, Todd. I'm doing good. Yeah, this is Todd Carter from North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
I think the Sarah Palin thing could probably work, but I'm recommending our Lieutenant Governor, Mark Robbins. I think that would give us an insight to another voting base, and he's a great guy, and he's all for what we stand for and what we believe in.
Well, he's doing an incredible job, I can tell you that. He's delivering on everything he promised out on the campaign trail. And Todd, I think he's just the real deal.
Yeah, he's definitely the real deal.
All right. So, Todd, we got you down. And so Mark Robinson and I think several other folks have called in, and they say, you know what, the lieutenant governor is doing a great job. I believe I'm going to be with him next week. I'm going to be speaking in Mount Airy, North Carolina. If you folks in the Carolinas know where that is, that's, by the way, Mayberry, Andy Griffith country. So looking forward to getting back there and going to be speaking at a big conference there, the Salt and Light Conference. We'll tell you more about that coming up in the next couple of days. But looking forward to getting out to the Carolinas. I will tell you this, the speaking schedule is picking up, and we're going to be on the road quite a bit. And we will do our best to keep you updated on where we're going to be. And, of course, we're going to be taking the show on the road. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to meet a lot of you fine people out there. Folks, it's been a great day. Sorry about the Huckabee interview. We'll try to reschedule the governor. In the meantime, head over to ToddStearns.com, download our podcast. We'd love for you to check that out. And you can also sign up for our free newsletter. Again, ToddStearns.com. You folks get out there, have a great day, and be good, America.